Hey guys, before we start the show, I want to remind you about the SleeperWire Pro-Am, an awesome fantasy league with industry professionals that you can be a part of. We've got analysts, we've got podcasts, we've got apps, all participating, including big names from NFL.com and Roto experts, and one of the special guests on today's SleeperWire Great Debate Show.
I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Hey sleepers, and welcome to the SleeperWire Great Debate Show, where we do a fast debate between two players. I'm your host, Professor Chris, and with me is our first ever Great Debate guest, Kyle from the Fantasy Football Fellows. What's going on, man?
Hey, brother, thanks for having me. I didn't know I was the first one ever, so this should be good.
Yeah, you are the first guest we've ever had on the Great Debate.
All right, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, before we jump in here, I want to let you guys know that I'm going to be doing a Professor Chris Listener League this year for fans of the show. It's going to be a 12-team PPR with me and 11 listeners. As you guys know, we're a charity podcast. You've heard me talk about the Pro-Am at the beginning of the show. Entry into the Listener League is going to work the same way. The first 11 donations of any amount get automatic entry into the league. Once you donate, take a screenshot of your donation, email that to me. If you've donated for the Pro-Am, then that's great. That counts towards the Listener League. Send that info to me at chrism@sleeperwire.com. Chris M. So don't forget the M. Don't send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com. Send it directly to me. The first 11 get automatic entry. All right, so what we're going to be doing here is having an actual debate-style argument between two players. We'll spend a couple minutes arguing for our player, about 90 seconds for rebuttals, and then we're going to wrap it up with final thoughts on our player. So here, we're going to be debating on who we would rather draft. And we got an interesting one today. Usually we're doing guys who are going in first, second, third round, wide receivers, running backs. We've done a tight end there. But here we're looking at a little bit later in the draft. We got Jeremy Maclin versus Pierre Garçon. I've got Jeremy Maclin. Kyle has Pierre Garçon. And Kyle, since you're a guest of the show, I'm going to let you go first.
All right. Awesome. Looking forward to it here. All right. Pierre Garçon, one of my favorite players this year. We talked about him over on our podcast earlier in the spring because I just loved his ADP, which was at the time real, real late, like the 12th round. But if you don't already know, Pierre Garçon is on the San Francisco 49ers this year. He's reunited with Kyle Shanahan, who he was previously with when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Washington. And besides the fact that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be a horrible team again this year, I love the Shanahan offense, especially for the number one wide receiver. Over the course of Shanahan's career, he's been an offensive coordinator since 2008 in Houston. And while he's had the likes of Andre Johnson and Julio Jones as his number one receiver, he's also got it done with guys like Santana Moss and even Pierre Garçon in 2013. In Shanahan's 9 seasons as an offensive coordinator, 5 of those 9 seasons, his number one wide receiver has been in the top 3 of receptions in the league. So I really like Garçon this year from the standpoint of he's in a great situation. He's in an offense that the game script is going to fit him perfectly to get a ton of volume this season. He's also reunited with Kyle Shanahan, who he's very, very familiar with. In 2012, Garçon missed some time. He only played 10 games, but he had over 600 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was on pace to be the wide receiver 24 in his first year with Shanahan. In 2013, man, he blew up in Washington. Kyle Shanahan was the OC, and Garçon put up 113 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He was 13th in standard that year and 11th in PPR. He led the league in targets and receptions. Now, we know that Brian Hoyer is the potential starter there, and we've seen it from Kyle Shanahan over the last 9 years that he's had Matt Ryan, and he had RG3 that great year, but he's done it with other not so great quarterback. So I think Hoyer can still get it done. He's also familiar with the Shanahan offense. Last year, Garçon was very, very under the radar. He finished wide receiver 32 in standard, but 23 in PPR with just under 80 catches and over 1,000 yards. The first 8 weeks of the season, only averaged 4.5 catches, 50 yards, and only 5.5 standard league points, 10 PPR points. But after the bye week in week 9, weeks 10 to 17, 5 receptions, 80 yards, and averaged 9.5 points in standard leagues and 14.9 in PPR. That's a wide receiver 12 pace. I really love Garcon this year, not only because of volume, but he's just a sneaky play. Number one receiver in a Shanahan offense. Sign me up. I love that these guys have been together before. So really digging Garcon this year. Top 24 wide receiver in all formats for me.
That was perfectly timed. So
yeah.
pretty good for the first great debate. It took us a while to dial it in.
All good.
Yeah. And I also have to say, before I get into my rebuttal, that you are the second fastest talking person we've ever had on the show.
Oh, nice. I had a lot of info, so I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, you're cramming all that in. Jake Seeley was the fastest we've ever had.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, gotcha. That was pretty good.
Nice, right, thanks.
I'm going to go ahead and jump into my rebuttal for Pierre Garçon.
Alrighty.
All right, so for Pierre Garçon, my biggest arguments are the quarterback and the offensive line. Last year, the 49ers offensive line ranked 30th in sacks per game with 2.9. They ranked as the 28th offensive line in 2016. According to Pro Football Focus, they're projected to be the 27th offensive line in 2017. New quarterbacks Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley, who were both on the Bears last season, are not that great. Even though the Bears had a good offensive line, and Hoyer was only pressured on 18% of dropbacks, which was lowest in the league, he still wasn't putting up great numbers. 6 touchdowns in 6 games. That's with the good offensive line. Now they're going to what was the 28th offensive line. Hoyer is going to be pressured. Hoyer has shown in the past that he can be a good fantasy quarterback, but he's never played a full season. Each year, he gets benched for the backup. Every single year. This is going to be a 7th team in 10 years. It's hard to imagine that he's going to play a full season in 2017 as well. Barkley isn't better. He's never been able to keep a starting job either. So yeah, Brian Hoyer can succeed, but he's never been the starter for a full season. Kyle Shanahan is a good offensive coach. Garcon is definitely the best weapon that the 49ers have on offense, but it's just hard for me to believe that Garcon is going to be better than Jeremy Maclin with a terrible offensive line and instability at the quarterback position. All right, so there you got our thoughts for and against Pierre Garcon. We're going to move over to Jeremy Maclin. All right, it's no secret that Jeremy Maclin had a down year last year, but let's not forget that he missed 4 games due to a grade 2 groin sprain that also affected the games that he did play. 44 catches for 536 yards and 2 touchdowns definitely isn't great, but this is an injury, a groin injury, that is pretty bad for fantasy results. Looking back, we're going to go back a couple years. 2015, he came to Kansas City, put up 87 catches, which was a career high, for 1,088 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's 8 touchdowns in an offense that saw literally 0 wide receivers get touchdown catches the year before. No wide receivers got touchdown catches back in 2014. Maclin comes in 2015 and gets 8 touchdowns. 8 touchdowns from Alex Smith when he only threw 20 touchdowns to begin with. Jeremy Maclin caught 40% of Alex Smith's touchdowns. That's pretty good. Jeremy Maclin is also only 3 years removed from going for 85 catches for 1,300 yards, so 1,318 yards, and 10 touchdowns for the Eagles. This guy can get it done. He's a definite deep threat, which really works in his favor when he's on a pass-happy team, and he is no longer playing with a quarterback who only threw 15 touchdowns last season. After the Chiefs cut him, Maclin quickly signed on with the Baltimore Ravens, who have quarterback Joe Flacco, who threw the second most pass attempts last season with 672, the second most completions with 436, for a completion percentage of 64.9%. So not only do the Ravens throw the ball a lot, they also complete a lot of their passes. There are a lot of targets out there as well that have to go somewhere. Kenneth Dixon and Dennis Pittet are out for the season. Kyle Juszczyk is now on the 49ers. Kamar Aiken, now on the Colts. Steve Smith is, you know, not on a team. That amounts for 362 targets that have to go somewhere. 362. They're not all going to go to Danny Woodhead and Mike Wallace. Breshad Perriman is once again injured, dealing with a hamstring injury in training camp. That's kept him out of practice. Let's say that Flacco's pass attempts go back down into the 500, where it's been for a good portion of his career. If we take away 100 of those targets, that's still 262 targets that are open. They're not all going to Woodhead, like I said. They're not all going to Mike Wallace. They're not all going to Benjamin Watson. 262 targets that are open. Jeremy Maclin is primed. All right, so there you got my thoughts for Jeremy Maclin. Kyle, give me your rebuttal. 90 seconds against him.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to kick this off with saying that while I do love Pierre Garcon this year, I still do like Jeremy Maclin too. I thought this was an interesting debate as they're going back-to-back currently right now in ADP. They're both great values in the 8th round, but the reason that I'm I would take Garcon over Jerry Maclin. Is just, well, you made good points as far as Baltimore throwing a ton, is that Joe Flacco over the course of his career has only had two instances in which he's had a wide receiver finish inside the top 20. One was 2009, Derek Mason, if you remember that name, wide receiver 18. And then Torrey Smith in 2014 with his 11 touchdowns finished wide receiver 19. I do think there's a lot of passing volume to go around there, but I do think there's more mouths to feed. I think Mike Wallace is still going to be a presence out there, and I still have high hopes for Perriman, even though I'm obviously not very thrilled with the fact that he's already a little bit nicked up. Time will tell, too, if they bring in a tight end. I think that could also affect Jerry Maclin. I have him inside my top 30 at wide receiver, but I just feel like the ball is going to get spread around there, and his upside is probably capped at maybe around wide receiver 18 or higher. I think Garcon, on the other hand, has a potential to be at, could be a top 15, because I think he has the potential to lead the league in targets this year. I don't think Maclin is able to do that, even in an offense that, like you said, threw the most in 2016. Jerry Maclin, another year older, another year off an injury. It's for me, it's a little bit hard to believe a guy moving to a new team has that type of upside that can be a wide receiver too. I love him as a wide receiver. I didn't set the timer. I looked at him like, oh, shoot, it just says 2:39.
Something that you definitely got to get used to. And I want to go back to something that said that we actually do. We both like these guys, right? I like Pierre Garcon. You like Jerry Maclin. So that's not the point of this. It's not like I hate Garcon or you hate Maclin. The point of these great debates is to give the listeners, you know, all the information so that they can make a more informed decision on who to draft. So it's not like we're trying to convince each other.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think both these guys are great value. I mean, they're going in outside of wide receiver 35. So that's a great value you can find in the eighth round. I think both these guys are going to be productive this year, even first year on their teams.
So are you looking at ADP for do you guys use Fantasy Pros?
I'm looking at Fantasy Football Calculator right now.
Oh, okay. I was looking at Fantasy Football Calculator as well, and my ADPs don't quite line up. I was looking at a 12-team PPR.
Gotcha. I might have not switched it to PPR because I
maybe if you're on standard, it's slightly different. But hey, that's okay.
Yeah, they're only one apart even there.
So there you got our thoughts for and against Jerry Maclin. We're gonna go ahead and wrap it up with our final thoughts. So going back to Pierre Garcon, Kyle, why don't you wrap up your thoughts on Garcon?
Yeah, I obviously threw a lot of stats out there. This is a guy that I've done a lot of research on, and I just really do like the track record of the Shanahan offense. I know it's not going to be pretty, but I think at the end of the day, he'll get it done. I think he's by far the most talented receiver out there. So I definitely like taking a shot. I hope his ADP doesn't go too much higher, because I think then you're kind of buying him at his value. But I think as a late round flyer, especially in PPR, this guy was sneaky last year. So he's somebody I'm definitely targeting.
All right, you crammed all your information into your original argument.
Yeah, yeah, I sure did. And that's what happens when you just talk just fast as hell.
Yeah, it's you want to get as much in as you possibly can. Fortunately, when you're arguing for a guy, you get the final thoughts.
Yeah.
Arguing against him, you only have 90 seconds, and that's it. So it's kind of frustrating there.
Yeah, I hear you.
Moving back to Jerry Maclin. So final thoughts here. So I was talking about if you take away 100 targets that are open from last year, 262 targets are still available. 362 are gone. Maclin, I believe, is primed to get peppered with targets from an accurate quarterback with an absolute cannon for an arm. Joe Flacco may have the strongest arm in the NFL. The Ravens now have two deep threat wide receivers in Maclin and Mike Wallace. Maclin is currently the number 36 wide receiver off the board. Once again, going back to Fantasy Football Calculator, and this is a 12-team PPR. That's absolutely insane. The number 36 wide receiver. This guy is going to finish as a low wide receiver 2 at worst. The fact that he's being drafted as a fringe wide receiver 3/wide receiver 4 is crazy to me. With an ADP of 7.11, so the end of the 7th round, you almost can't afford not to take this guy. I generally don't advocate taking quarterbacks or tight ends early. I know you guys don't either. But the fact that you can get a wide receiver of this caliber at the end of the 7th points to being able to draft Drew Brees in the 5th or Travis Kelce in the 4th while still getting a good starting receiver for your team. And that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it if this guy's my wide receiver 3, either of these guys. And if they're my wide receiver 2, like you said, you're stacked elsewhere most likely. So you know, you can fill it in later, but man, I love both these guys as a wide receiver 2 option for sure in any type of league.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Great Debate. A couple final things before we go. We have finished our contest for the autographed Antonio Brown jersey, courtesy of pristineauction.com. Amazing website. Any type of memorabilia for any type of, you know, sports or movies or books or, you know, music, anything that you want. You don't get anything fake or imitated. It's all certified authentic. We are going to be announcing the winner of the signed Antonio Brown jersey very soon. Go check out pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Then I want to encourage you guys to go to www.sleeperwire.com. Check out our weekly rankings. Submit a question to the Sleeperwire crew. We get back to you within 24 hours. You can find us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. I'm on there at C-M-O-R Sleeperwire. I'm on Sleeperwire at Professor Chris, The Fantasy Life at Professor Chris, and on Instagram at Professor Chris SW. Kyle, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you and love you and support you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow our podcast, The Fantasy Football Fellas. You can follow them at The FF Fellas. You can also follow me at Kyle FF Fellas. And check out our website, thefantasyfootballfellas.com. You can find all of our shows. We're a year-round show, so we've been dropping at least one episode a week all year long. We're in the middle of our positional previews right now. So you can find our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. Anywhere podcasts are found, we're there. So hit us up, give us a listen, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to encourage you guys, definitely go do that. And I normally don't promote other shows as much on this show, but I've talked to you about this on Twitter and on Sleeperbot as well, that the Fantasy Football Fellas are at the top of my weekly rotation. So when I see that you guys have posted a new episode, I listen to that first before any other. So I think you guys do a great job over there.
I really do appreciate it. Seth and I are having a lot of fun. We're just in our second year, but man, it's a blast, and we do appreciate it, man. And I appreciate having me on. This was a lot of fun, and you definitely put me to the test. I love stats, man, but I knew I was going up against a tough competition tonight.
Yeah, and a math teacher, too. I hear you guys talking about not liking math on your show.
Yeah, not particularly good at it. Just basic addition usually gives us trouble. So for this one, I'm like, all right, make sure I know all my numbers, you know?
Yep, I feel that. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.